Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 20th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Civil servants fume over plans by the government to pay their salaries next month.
There are so many things that they are going to try and come up with so many explanations. I think we have gone beyond explanation.
Serious shortages of the rand, Chinese yuan and other foreign currencies unsettles depositors in Zimbabwe.
We have been waiting here since, I think, 9 o'clock in the morning, and we are still waiting, and we are being told they have no money, even the rands and the yuan. So we are just waiting, hoping that maybe something come out, but it doesn't seem so.
And former Vice President Joyce Mujuru says she is ready to work with opposition parties in Zimbabwe.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Civil servants, union and organizations under the Apex Council today snubbed an urgent meeting called by the Ministry of Labor to discuss pay dates for government workers following a proposal to shift pay days from the month of June. Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe General Secretary Raymond Majongwe says they did not attend the meeting because the government chose to invite them through a telephone call instead of using formal channels. The meeting convened by the Minister of Labor was to be attended by officials from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, Minister of Finance, Civil Service Commission and representatives of civil servants. Last week, the government announced new pay dates, with the Zimbabwe National Army expected to be paid on June the 27th, the police June the 30th, while the education sector had been slotted for July the 7th. The health sector and the rest of the civil servants are expected to get their salaries on July 14th and pensioners being on July 19th. Majongwe tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they will engage in an industrial action if they don't get their salaries by the end of this month.
All unions that met in Harare today, we send a clear message to government that they are not happy, that they invited us to attend the government meeting through a telephone call. And we send a very clear message that we are a formalized group that needs to be respected. We are not a group of head boys or a group of vagrants that then can be called because suddenly food has been found and they must come and eat. We are a body that can articulate and can represent itself. So we are simply saying to government, don't treat us as if we are passengers on this ship. We are stakeholders and we deserve our respect.
What's the way forward now that you snubbed this meeting with government representatives?
We have been taught by the war veterans. We have been taught by the aggressive members of our society. If you want to get food, you must fight for it. We are fighting for our salaries and we are fighting for what is legitimately ours.
Are we going to see a strike by teachers or some demonstrations by civil servants?
I want to assure government that if they have not seen what they will see, then they will never see anything. We are people who are slowly getting tired. Of course, there are so many things that they are going to try and come up with so many explanations. I think we have gone beyond explanation. The level of opulence and extravagance that we see in the government line of duty, in government circles, in government individuals, is unbelievable. So we cannot turn a blind eye when we see that they are busy enjoying the wealth of this country.
That was PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Studio 7 failed to reach Minister Mupfumira for a comment.
Zimbabwe is experiencing serious shortages of the South African rand and Chinese yuan as the country attempted today to shift to these currencies to address the current critical shortages of cash, including the United States dollar. Bank queues are now the order of the day in a nation with a fast declining economy due to subdued industrial production, low exports, lack of foreign direct investment, and other factors. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Several banks started dispensing the South African and Chinese currencies in banking halls and automated teller machines or ATMs today, but the banking public complained that accessing the money was not easy. One of the depositors, Simon Mugwagwa, said he spent the better part of the day in a queue trying to withdraw cash, but to no avail.
The situation is very much hectic. We have been waiting here since, I think, 9 o'clock in the morning, and we are still waiting, and we are being told they have no money, even the rands and the UN. So we are just waiting, hoping that maybe something come out, but it doesn't seem so.
This was echoed by Teklas Nyowera, who noted that she could not get either the South African rands or the Chinese yuan in the banking hall and ATMs. She said that the Botswana pula and the British pounds were also not accessible, adding that those currencies would be difficult to use in her daily errands.
Even if they give us the pula and the pounds, we are so confused about the rate, the exchange rate, and the shops. It's so difficult to buy anything with pula or pounds because the people in the shops, they don't know how to change the money. The exchange rate is just so basic.
Another depositor, Garikai Murendo, said he managed to withdraw some rands and yuans, but most retailers were not accepting those currencies, preferring the US dollar.
It's difficult in using the yuan in the shops.
Some banking staff who refused to speak on tap said they failed to dispense the rand, yuan and other currencies because they were in short supply at their branches. Some other bankers who had accessed the rand and yuan said they could not transact because they had not been advised of the exchange rates by the central bank. Central Bank Governor John Mangunjga had initially asked Studio 7 to contact him for comment, but he was not reachable on his mobile phone at the time of going on air. However, the central bank chief told the state-controlled Sunday Mail newspaper that the dispensing of multiple currencies would help in easing the ongoing shortages that started when the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe announced its plans to introduce bond notes. The RBZ's proposal is being rejected by many Zimbabweans who say that authorities are planning to reintroduce the Zimbabwean currency through the back door. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
In a related development, Parliament's Mines Committee says it is disappointed that the recently formed Zimbabwe Consolidated Diamond Mining Company is not properly constituted and not yet fully operational when the nation is expecting reasonable revenues from diamond sales amid a crippling cash crisis. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Acting Chief Executive Officer Ridge Nyashanu and Interim Company Chairman and Mines Ministry Permanent Secretary Francis Kudlanga were grilled for hours by the committee members who expressed concern that the company was not properly formed and that most of its activities were therefore illegal. First to appear before the committee was Nyashanu, who made a very short presentation of the company's operations but failed to answer critical questions pertaining to the shareholding of the company, its directors and other important issues. In his brief presentation, Nyashanu said the consolidated company had only sold just more than 500,000 carats in its few months since it started operating and remitted just $1 million to Treasury. But committee chairman Daniel Shumba was not happy about this.
Naturally, your report is condescending of Parliament in that it has got no detail, and you believe you can come and sit before us and read what every street kid in town has got and assume that we'll be excited. We are disappointed.
He ordered Nyashanu to go back and get prepared.
You must know how important this sector is, and that by trivializing what you are doing in your organization, you're affecting Zimbabwe, the economy and livelihoods of this country. This is how serious this is. You are undermining the financial stability of this nation, and I do not see that seriousness coming from you. We accordingly are going to ask you to go and research further, learn more, and prepare better.
The committee is expected to recall Nyashanu to give more evidence. After Nyashanu's presentation, then came Kujanga, who was equally disappointing to the committee. Kujanga failed to provide information on the operations of the company and a lot of other issues which the committee felt are important in improving the country's diamond industry. He admitted that the state-controlled company had not been established through an act of parliament and that its operations had been affected by the fact that some of the private investors who were supposed to form part of the company, such as Mbada and Anjin, had approached the courts to challenge its existence. But Shumba and his committee accused Kujanga of engaging in illegal activities and presiding over the demise of the diamond industry at a time when the country expected a lot of revenue from the sale of gems. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti and current Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa have bemoaned lack of meaningful revenue contributions from the country's gems. The Zimbabwe Consolidated Diamond Mining Company has taken over the operations of all diamond mining companies in the country, but some of them are contesting the decision in court. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chipera.
A former Vice President Joyce Mujuru says she's ready to work with opposition parties in Zimbabwe. Speaking at a maiden rally in Matabeleland region this weekend, Mrs. Mujuru said all democratic forces should pull together in order to unseat President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party.
Others saying, why is it that my Mujuru have decided to come to Bulawayo? A lot of political questions, a lot of politicking about my Mujuru denigrating Father Zimbabwe, about my Mujuru not interested in these things. That's why I have taken a little bit of time to explain who I am. To me, Father Zimbabwe, in reality, he was my father. But you know, once you belong to different parties, they would want to wait so that they widen the gate by saying wrong things. That's why I've decided to talk about it. And I want to say, for a long time you have been hoodwinked, and I want to say sorry for that misleading.
That was former Vice President and leader of the opposition Zimbabwe People's Party addressing people at Stanley Square, Makokoma, Bulawayo. In another development, some youths are belonging to a coalition of opposition parties, the National Election Reform Agenda, or NERA, say they have gone into hiding ahead of a protest march by the group penciled for tomorrow in Harare. The youths say they have been harassed and intimidated by unknown people suspected to be state agents since the beginning of last week. One of the youths was allegedly abducted on Friday and released the following day. We could not talk to the alleged victim as her phone went unanswered. Signatories to NERA include leading opposition parties like the MDCT, People's Democratic Party, and Zimbabwe People First, among others, which are pushing for electoral reforms before 2018 general elections. We reached NERA National Chairman Joelson Mugari, who says that despite the intimidation, they are going ahead with tomorrow's march, which was sanctioned by the police.
We currently have a very big problem with the youth executives who are currently organizing the march for tomorrow, whereby want to hand over a petition to parliament pertaining to the non-alignment of the electoral laws to the new constitution.
Why are the youths in hiding?
They are being chased around by the agents, the CIOs, all over after them. Imagine Friday, they abducted a lady by the name Roy from Transform Zimbabwe, and she was released on Saturday afternoon. And nobody knows where she was. She don't even know where she was abducted to, but she was in town in Harare.
So now, can you tell us a little bit more about the march tomorrow?
All about NERA handing over a petition to the House of Assembly. The reason being that we want to know the position of the parliamentarians as to the situation of the new constitution. We need to know how much are they pushing,
how far have they gone with the alignment of the electoral law to the new constitution?
Where and when is the march going to take place?
We are going to start from Africa Unity Square at 10 a.m. Then we'll go along Julius Nyerere up until we come to Nelson Mandela. Then we'll go along Nelson Mandela Square to Parliament.
And that was Joelson Mugari, National Chairman of the National Election Reform Agenda, or NERA. He spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow as we discuss efforts by non-governmental organizations and some political parties to urge for youth to register to vote ahead of the 2018 national elections.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
And now we take a look at regional and international news.
Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump has released his controversial campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. Lewandowski, who had been with the Trump campaign since last June, was perceived by many political observers as having hostile relationships with numerous national journalists and strained relations with some Republican Party officials.
And five Kenyan police officers are dead after suspected Islamist Al-Shabaab militants attacked a police convoy as it traveled through the northeastern part of the country, a local official said.
People living with disabilities say the government should provide HIV/AIDS information to cater for their needs in order to combat its spread among them. Some members of the Freedom to the Disabled Persons in Zimbabwe say their members are getting infected owing to lack of HIV/AIDS information. They say most HIV/AIDS pamphlets, condoms and related items are not written in Braille, though the Minister of Health has been providing some relevant material for people living with disabilities. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has more details from Motare.
Some of the people living with disabilities say they have struggled over the years to access HIV/AIDS information written in Braille, and to make matters worse, they've never attended workshops that normally conduct sessions in sign language. Tapiwa Zapasi of the Freedom to Persons Living with Disabilities in Zimbabwe says HIV/AIDS information packages are normally not properly packaged as they are not written in Braille, while the deaf cannot receive information at times owing to lack of caregivers fluent in sign language.
Most of the materials being used on the HIV and AIDS are aimed at sideline people with disability. For example, some brails are not there, HIV and AIDS. We find much of the information, for example, from a condom, much of the information in Gilipo is in written, it's not in braille, in which it doesn't mean that a blind person cannot use the condom.
Zapasi further says people living with disabilities like albinos are being targeted by unscrupulous Zimbabweans who believe that having sex with them can result in them being cured of the HIV virus. He says the bottom line is that they have been discriminated for a long time.
Those are the myths within our society. Also, I come to the issue of accessibility of information. We are excluded in the issues of HIV and AIDS. Maybe in the area because we are the minority group, which we have been taken as the people who are not suited to that information. It has been happening for many years and is still happening, in which the people are being deprived from the rights to access the information.
Zapati says all hope is not lost, though, since they strive to get included in data sharing on many health issues.
In this case now, we are advocating for total inclusion of the people of disability in all activities, so that maybe it could be a source of eradication of this disease. I think that's the way forward.
Wallace Mfumwa of the Freedom to the People Living with Disabilities says all organizations involved with the people living with disabilities should work together to lobby for the government to seriously take the health issues affecting them seriously. Mfumwa says this should prevent the abuse and exclusion of people living with disabilities from critical health information that is to be easily accessible and usable.
Right, as Freedom to the Disabled Persons in Zimbabwe, we would want all DPOs, disability organizations, to have combined efforts to try to sensitize citizens about disability, about HIV. This is very correct that disabled people are not spared. They are the most vulnerable people. There are a lot of myths around this. Some would want to have affair or sex with people with disabilities so that they will be cured. Especially people with albinism are the most vulnerable group. People who are wheelchaired are also another group.
Studio 7 was unable to get a comment from provincial medical officials and Health Minister David Parenya Twa. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Today is Refugee Day, according to the United Nations Refugee Agents. Millions of people are displaced in the world due to unending political strife in their nations. In his message to make the day today, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said, quote, "Our responses to refugees must be grounded in our shared values of responsibility, sharing, non-discrimination and human rights, and in international refugee law, including the principle of non-refoulement," end quote. Some Zimbabweans are among millions of refugees that are struggling to survive in other countries. For a view on this, Studio 7's Chioniso Jani reached Dewa Mavinga, a human rights lawyer.
World Refugee Day honors the rights of people globally to seek asylum, to seek refuge, and to be protected beyond their borders when their own countries of nationality are unable to offer them protection. Zimbabwe has been home to a number of refugees from within the region, particularly from the Democratic Republic of Congo, but as far afield as Ethiopia and Eritrea. But also, interestingly for Zimbabwe, there are hundreds of thousands of Zimbabweans who have fled their own country to seek refuge in neighboring countries, particularly in South Africa and Botswana. So it is a reflection of the challenges of internal conflicts and crises.
But it seems there is confusion in terms of being accepted by neighboring countries because of the predicament that we are going through.
For Zimbabwe, the challenge is the need for SADC to acknowledge that there is a political and a socio-economic crisis that is manifesting in Zimbabwe, and that is giving rise to this mass exodus of people, and that countries like South Africa and Botswana should either ensure that these refugees have sufficient support and also should push for a resolution of the challenges in Zimbabwe that are giving rise to that mass outflow of people who cannot be safe and secure in their own home.
You find out a lot of refugees are not able to come back home. Some of them are seeking asylum. And what does that mean then for those that are in the diaspora without adequate documentation to remain in those countries?
You are quite right that there are hundreds of thousands of Zimbabweans who are living lives of squalor and suffering and destitution in the diaspora, who long each day to return to Zimbabwe, but who are too afraid to do that because of the fear of persecution by a regime that does not want to embrace the human rights discourse and human rights values that are enshrined in our constitution.
That was Dewa Mavinga, a human rights lawyer, speaking with Studio 7 from Berlin, Germany. And in sports news, it was a bad day in the office for the Chevrons of Zimbabwe at Harare Sports Club this afternoon after the Zimbabweans were once again on the losing end, going down to India by 10 wickets in the second of their three T20 match series. Our reporter Michael Cariati has more details.
The manner in which Zimbabwe played was just the opposite of the splendid show they put up Saturday when they won the opening T20 game by 2 runs. With Elton Chigumbura, the star of the show, with an unbeaten 54 runs. However, this afternoon, by the 10 of the 16th over mark, Zimbabwe had lost as many as 7 wickets and had amassed only 81 runs, with Chigumbura out on a little 8 runs. Peter J. Moore top scored for Zimbabwe with a paltry 31 runs as the Zimbabweans struggled for a disappointing total of 99. After they allotted 20 overs and after using all their 10 wickets. Only 4 other Zimbabwean batsmen, Malcolm Mwala, Chamuchi Baba, Donald Chiripano and Hamilton Masakadza, managed double figures, but those were not even more than 15 runs. The Indians had no trouble chasing the Zimbabwean target and needed only 2 batsmen, Mandeep Singh, who hit 52, and Lokesh Rahul, who was on 47, for a total of 103 runs without loss. This is the first time in history that India has won a T20 game by 10 wickets. The two teams are now 1-0 in the three-match series, with the decider coming Wednesday. However, there are a few who believe the Chevrons will salvage something out of the series. In other sports news, in the Premier Soccer League, Caps United are the new leaders of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League after they beat Mutare City Rovers 2-0 this weekend, while Dynamos gave a fitting tribute to their 8 supporters who died in a road accident last week. Ocean Msure says they wish to win all their remaining matches to give the departed a fitting tribute. Coach Lloyd Mtasa also said the win was for the deceased fans and those that were blocked from attending the fixture against Singezi Platinum Stars through a blanket stadium ban over violence.
We owe it to the fans. This is one for them, and more so if you look at one occasion, there are instances where people were saying maybe we'll play in an empty stadium.
Mutasa has picked up 9 points in the past 4 games, and the former FC Platinum coach is satisfied with the transformation that Dynamos is going through.
9 points out of 12 is a fair assessment.
For Ngezi Platinum Stars, alarm bells are ringing after the loss to Dynamos, which came a week following another defeat to Harare City. Assistant coach Clifton Kadurira is a worried man.
Since we are approaching the window, so we have to beef up in the strike person. Maybe we can find the solution of our scoring.
Now to rugby. The dream of the Zimbabwe Sevens rugby team of qualifying for the Rio Olympics ended over the weekend following the global qualifying tournament held in Monaco. The Cheetahs finished 9th overall in a 16-team tournament and were eliminated early from the contest. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our host will be talking with listeners about cash shortages in Zimbabwe as the country tries to use the South African rand and Chinese yuan. The two currencies are now in short supply, like the United States dollar.
If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-619-2077.
Now to recap today's top stories.
Civil servants fume over plans by the government to pay their salaries next month.
Serious shortages of the rand, Chinese yuan and other foreign currencies unsettles depositors in Zimbabwe.
And former Vice President Joyce Mujuru says she is ready to work with opposition parties in Zimbabwe.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.